Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. On Thanksgiving Day, our family did what a lot of families do. We put apple cider in the 30 cup silver coffee urn. You know, you visualize exactly the one I'm talking about. But it wasn't apple cider from the store. It was fresh, squeezed apple cider from my daughter's apple tree. And man, was that better. That was maybe the most memorable. No, it wasn't the most memorable. It was a lot of good memories on Thanksgiving, but that was one of them. So let's talk about homegrown apple cider with NDSU horticulturist Tom Kalb. How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing great, Mick. How about you?
No complaints. No complaints. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving out there?
Had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and hey, you just can't beat the weather, huh?
Oh my goodness, this is
50 degrees, and
yeah, you guys were 50, I think, earlier this morning, and we're working on it.
So, yeah, it's crazy, huh?
Yeah,
I agree with your talk about homegrown apple cider. I just. That just brings back so many great memories for me. I was raised on an apple farm in Minnesota, and we would, right now would be the harvest is over, but we'd be out there with our small apples, the ones you can't sell to people, and we'd get our apple press going and just crank that up and start grinding, and you know we'd wear shoulders get all sore from hours of grinding, but. The reward was so wonderful. That homemade apple cider is so, it's so rich, huh? It's so flavorful, much better than stuff you buy at a store.
Yeah, the store-bought, of course, looks like, you know, a dark lemonade, or, you know, it's just like apple, it's commercial apple cider. But this stuff, you know, homegrown stuff is just really good. Now, so we love homegrown tomatoes, too, but we plant those in the spring and harvest those late summer. Having homegrown apple cider, that requires a little more patience, I would assume.
Well, yeah, with the apple trees, you've got that's a long-term investment you got going on there. So, you know, for a lot of the standard apple trees, you don't really start getting a good harvest for 6 years or sometimes even longer. And so if you really want to get going on some homegrown apple cider, maybe you should start planning on getting it going this spring. And that brings up a good point that, you know, like apple cider is a very popular trend now, making your own apple cider. And so when I look at some tree catalogs, I'm noticing that some of the popular cider varieties are already sold out for the spring. So it's something you want to get going on, you know, just don't wait till after Christmas. Got to get that apple tree as well as all those gifts for Christmas. Got to get busy.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you grew up in Minnesota. Is the world-famous Honeycrisp, is that a good apple cider tree?
You know what? Our farm is about 10 miles from the home of the Honeycrisp. And we had lots of trees. We had about 50 Honeycrisp. And you know what? That made a surprisingly good apple cider. It was really a nice, balanced flavor. It's sweet. And, you know, it's such a good-tasting apple. And, you know, people want to buy that for fresh eating, and you just can't beat it. But what happens is, you know, when you grow apples, you get some nice big ones that you can sell to the customer, but then the small ones, nobody wants a small apple. So the small ones we could make in a juice. And I was really pleased. And also the other thing, Mick, is like if you have more than one tree, you can kind of mix the different varieties together. And everybody's got their own preference as far as how sweet or how tart they want it.
Yeah, well, if they do it with wine, I guess they can do it with apple ciders, true, too.
You're so right.
How about the golden russet, though? That's the champagne of ciders?
Well, yeah, you know, russet apples, they kind of look, they're ugly. And they're not really that really red color, and they have a very rough sandpaper skin. And so they're not popular for fresh eating, but the russet apples are really great for cider making. They are, their flavor is so intense. And so if you can get a russet apple, and up here in North Dakota, the hardiest one, it would be the Minnesota 1734. That's the hardiest russet, and they'll grow throughout our state. But if you can get a russet apple, that'd be, you know, for cider making, that you'll really be pleased by the flavor on that.
But that's kind of a zone four, mostly?
Yeah, a lot of the russet apples are zone four, so that's the southern three-fourths of the state.
Well, but if climate change keeps happening, we'll be living in zone five before too long.
But maybe. Then they talk about it, but then they say climate extreme. So, hey, you know, what can you say? So we still get the cold, bitter cold temperatures now and then.
Yeah.
So it's that coldest temperature we worry about, not the general warmth as far as the survival of the apple tree. We got to worry about those super freak cold days that can knock a tree down. So that's an important thing. When you buy any type of fruit tree or any type of tree, look, get to know your hardiness zone and make sure you pick a hardy plant. Otherwise, you know, like I've had some bad experiences with peach trees. You know, they say they can grow them, but then you grow them for about 5 years, you finally get a great tasting peach, and then it dies the next year. The tree always dies on you. So
Yeah. Make
sure you know your hardiness zone.
Okay, so that's one component. What are some other good agronomic tips for growing good apples?
Okay, your apple trees, you got to have full sun. It wants full sun and sheltered away from the worst winds, because if it's in a really brisk place, the apples will fall off the tree before they're ripe. Well-drained soil. Then the other thing is think about the rootstock. Most fruit apple trees are on the standard rootstock, but again, they can take like six, seven, 8 years before you get a good harvest. If you're in the southern part of the state, you could consider a semi-dwarf rootstock, and those trees are bare much earlier, like about after 4 years, and they don't grow so tall, so they're much easier to manage. So look for a semi-dwarf rootstock. And, you know, I would also say, Mick, almost any apple, if you've got an apple tree in your backyard right now, you know, you'd be surprised almost every variety will have the cider will taste better than what you get at the store.
How about crab apples then?
Yes. You know, some of the best cider making apples are crab apples. Chestnut, oh, that's an outstanding flavored crab apple. Even Whitney is a very popular crab apple for cooking and cider. And I would also throw in a small apple. It's not technically a crab apple, but Frostbite. Frostbite, it's the grandfather of Honeycrisp, and that's where that Honeycrisp gets a lot of its flavor. And a Frostbite has a small apple. It's only like 2-3 inches across. But, man, that's a very, very flavorful apple. And that's pretty widely available, that Frostbite one.
All right. Well, if we want fantastic apple cider next year, all we have to do is plant them about 2015, six, 7 years ago. But in the meantime, you got, at the NDSU, have a lot of good info on growing apple trees?
Sure. You can go to the NDSU website and just put in the search engine about growing apples, or they can contact me directly, and I'd be happy to help anybody who's interested in growing a cider tree. You know, you'll really be pleased in the long run.
For sure. All right, Tom Kalb, NDSU Extension. You're based out of Bismarck Extension Office.
That's right.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Thank you.
You know, we got email. Just send me an email.
Yeah, all righty. Thank you so much for adding a little culture to this show, horticulture to be specific. So thank you.
My pleasure, Mick. You take care.
Great. Have a great holiday. Thank you.
You too.
All righty.
Bye-bye.